to God's word to us this afternoon. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And in the way of peace, they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And then our text this afternoon, going through to verse 28. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith? Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So far, God's word. Let's come together in prayer and ask him for his blessing on this word to us this afternoon. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We praise you once again for your word freely given to us. We thank you that you give it to us, that you love us, that you provide something for us that we don't need to be in the dark about how we are to live for you. That we don't need to be in the dark of how we are right with you. Bless us this afternoon as your word speaks to us. Work in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Change us, mold us, give us a gratitude, increase our gratitude to you for what you have done for us. We pray this in the only name that can save us, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, excuse me just a second here, just a little technical issue. My sermon has disappeared. I'm just pulling that up. Here we go. Great, and I'm just going to turn the light on as well, so don't run away. Thanks for your patience. Well, everyone likes to be told that they've done a good job. Well done. what you've done looks great. I like what you did there. That tastes good. Whether it's cooking, whether it's cleaning, whether it's a DIY job, whether it's a work of art, or something simple as doing the dishes. We like to be recognized. We like to be encouraged for the work that we've done. But when it comes to being right with God, there's no recognition on our part. No praise that comes to us, because it's all God's work. While we like to take some of the credit for salvation, we don't take the credit. We shouldn't take the credit, because it all belongs to God. This afternoon, we're going to address the most important question that any one of us can ask during our lives here on earth. And no, that question is not, when are we going to come out of lockdown? No, that question simply is this. How can I be right with God? How can I be right with God? And the simple answer this afternoon is that we are made right with God by faith alone. We are made right with God by faith alone. The first thing we're going to see is that our works can't save us. Our works can't save us. Our text begins, Romans 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God has been shown, has been manifested. What does it mean, this term by the righteousness of God? Well, there's two ways it can be explained. The first, the righteousness of God, is God's perfect justice. That a perfect God demands justice. That every single sin that has been done on this world, done on this earth, for all of time, needs to be paid for. That's God's perfect justice. But there's also a second way that his righteousness is explained. And while his perfect justice is in our minds here, what's more being described here is how God saves people. The righteousness of God also describes how God saves people. How are people made right with God? How are people made righteous? And that's the primary focus of our text here this afternoon. Our text says that salvation happened, or has been, the righteousness of God, salvation, has been manifested apart from the law. What does this mean, apart from the law? Well, say you go to the shop, boys and girls, and you see something you really, really like. A Lego set, or a toy car, or maybe a new bike. It looks absolutely amazing, and you want it. You go up to the shopkeeper and you say, I want to buy that. How much is it? And the shopkeeper says, you can't have it. And you think, oh, well, maybe it's because it's too much money. And you say, well, I'll give you this much money. And the shopkeeper says, no. And then you think, well, maybe if I do a lot of work in the shop for you, maybe if I do some jobs for you, maybe then I can have it. And the shopkeeper says, no. It's not for sale. It's not on the market. And it's the same with our salvation. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. When Paul is talking here about the law, what he means here is works, is doing things, is keeping God's commandment, is doing good. But that's not going to make you right with God. Something that the world struggles with. You often hear people say, well, if I do good enough, if the balance of my good works outweigh the bad stuff I do, then surely God can't send me to hell. Or maybe just simply, I'm a good person. I do basically good stuff. Surely God won't turn me away. But the Bible says no. Verse 23 of Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the approval of God is another way of describing the glory of God here. God's approval. There's no way to earn your way into heaven. There's no way to earn being right with God. Left to ourselves, we will always fall short. And we need that reminder too sometimes. That we can't earn our way into heaven. That nothing we do can make God have to choose us. And nothing we do can stop God choosing us as well, because that's the positive side. It's the relief for us. Our salvation, our being made right with God, is out of our hands. We can't stuff it up. Once saved, always saved. Belonging to God, always belonging to God. Nothing can take us away from his grasp, from his grip. But what then the place of the law? The law and the prophets, it says in verse 21, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, they bear witness to the righteousness of God. What does that mean? Well, the law here, we can think of the things we do, and also more specifically in this second part of verse 21, we can think of the Ten Commandments, the summary of God's law for doing good in this world. What place does the law have? Well, for starters, it shows us that we are going to fall short. We can't keep God's requirements for us. And the law reminds us of that time and time again. We can't keep the law. But does that mean that the law is meant to weigh us down? To make us feel bad about ourselves? To drive us into despair? Now, the law is, and the prophets are meant to drive us somewhere. But not to despair. Now they are to drive us to how we can become right with God. And Paul unpacks that in the verses following. We can't keep the law perfectly. The law reminds us of that. It reminds us of the fact that our works can't save us. But what does? Well, that brings us to our second point. Our second point this afternoon is grace saves us. How are we made right with God? We are made right with God through grace. Verse 24, we are justified by his grace as a gift. God's grace makes us right. God's grace given to us through faith. And there's no distinction here. There's no two different ways, as Paul says there in the end of, just jumping back a little bit to verse 22. For the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe, there is no distinction. He's thinking back to what we were talking about, just what we read about just earlier in chapter 3. A difference between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul is saying there aren't two ways to come to God. There's only one way. Every single person to become right with God has to come through Jesus Christ. And every single person falls. Every single person fails. All, without exception, have sinned and fall short of God's approval. That's verse 23. But verse 23 isn't the end. It goes straight together with verse 24. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But they are also justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, he's not saying here that all people are saved. Paul makes that clear in other places. God justifies those whom he has chosen. But just as all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the only way to be right, the only way to be justified, the only way to be declared righteous is through Jesus Christ. And that is a gift to us. A gift given to us that is made ours by faith. faith is a gift too. Elsewhere, Paul says that in his letters. By grace you have been saved through faith. Faith is the instrument. Faith is the means by which we hold on to God. That holds on to God's promise for us. That holds on to Jesus Christ. Because Christ has redeemed us. Christ has paid for us. He's paid the price for us. Now imagine you go to the supermarket. You buy a whole load of groceries. But you haven't got enough money to pay. And you have to start making the choice about what you're going to give back. And I've seen these stories from time to time. In fact, a lot more of those lately. Where someone else comes along and says, don't put anything back. I'll cover the bill. How much are you short? And I'll cover it. Well, Jesus does this for us with our salvation, but even more. Imagine that you've queued for 2 hours to get into Pack and Save Rangiora. You've queued, you've gone and you've waited and you've gone through. You go and load up your trolley with groceries and you get to the checkout and you realize, I haven't got my wallet. I've left it at home. I can't pay one single cent for these groceries. But then someone steps in and says, I've got this. I'll pay for it. And they say more than that. They say, any time that you come into the shop, you tell the manager and I'll make sure that the bill gets paid for you. Wouldn't that be amazing, boys and girls? Well, that's what Jesus Christ does for us in paying for our sins and making us right with God. God sent Jesus Christ, our passage says. It's God, the Father, who puts forward Jesus Christ as a propitiation by his blood. Propitiation, that's a big word, isn't it, boys and girls? See if you can copy it out of the Bible and write that there in that sheet, or write it down on a piece of paper if you've got a pen with you. Propitiation. But what does that mean? Well, the idea of propitiation has the idea of turning away someone's anger. And propitiation, for what Jesus did to God the Father, is turning away God's anger against all sin and paying that price for us. Bearing the anger of God against sin, taking that on himself, paying for every single one of our sins so that God is no longer angry with us. So that we become his children. That's what Jesus does for us, did for us on the cross, by dying for us, by being raised from the grave for us, something that we're going to celebrate this coming Friday and also coming Sunday as we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. You see, Jesus paid the price. He propitiated, he turned away God's anger for every single person that God has chosen. And that's always been God's way. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That's what verses 25 and 26, the second half of 25 and 26 speak about. This Jesus being a propitiation by his blood, received by us by faith, is to show God's righteousness. Because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. He's talking there about all the people of the Old Testament whose sins were paid for in the future by Jesus Christ. And then he's talking about those in the New Testament. Verse 26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time. Paul's talking to the people in Rome, the church in Rome, but it also talks to us in this present time. The only way has always been Jesus Christ. The only way to be right with God, through Jesus Christ, through faith. Do you know that way? Do you know the way of Jesus Christ? Can you claim Jesus Christ as your own? Can you say the grace of God is for me? I hope so. I pray that that will be so for you. God has done that, has made that true for us. Through his grace, through faith who hangs on to Jesus Christ. God is both, as our passage says there in the second half of verse 26, the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is the just. His justice might be satisfied. Think there to that first way of explaining the righteousness of God. God can't overlook sin. It has to be dealt with. But he also brings us, gives us the way for that justice to be satisfied. God is the one who justifies, but also makes us right with him. He both demands that his justice is satisfied, but also gives us the way out, paying for our sins in Jesus Christ. Our works can't save us. We're saved by grace. So how do we respond to that? How do we respond to God's gift to us, his grace to us, to his making us right with him through Jesus Christ? Well, that brings us to our third and final point this afternoon. Our third and final point is that we can't boast in what we do. We can't boast in what we do. Now, we have some really good cooks and bakers in our congregation. I hope the boys and girls are nodding at the moment. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to our first fellowship lunch all back together. Imagine the feast that we're going to have together. But imagine as all this feast is laid out and boys and girls, you're hungry and you're wanting to get to the table. I stand up the front and I say to everyone, thanks everyone for coming for lunch and you're welcome. You're welcome for that beautiful apple tart that's there. Those custard squares, the cakes, the pork sausages, the asparagus rolls, the sausage rolls. You're welcome. It was a lot of hard work, but I put it all together. Well, that wouldn't be true. And even if I made one of the dishes, it probably wouldn't be as nice as some of our fantastic cooks and bakers in the congregation. You ask my kids, they'll tell you about the things that I've burnt in the microwave. It would be wrong, it would be a lie for me to boast in putting this spread together when I had nothing to do with it. And it's the same with our salvation. We can't claim any credit for it at all. We can't say to God, well, God, you need to thank me. You're welcome. God, you should be really thankful that you have a person like me in your kingdom. Now, we need to give credit where credit is due. We have to give God the glory. We have to give God all of the glory. And we can give him thanks that it doesn't rely on us. That we can do nothing to make ourselves right with him. Because as I've said before, and I've said time and time again, if we could do that, then we could also make a mess of it and stuff it up. Now, do we accept Jesus Christ as a sacrifice? Yes, that's faith. But that faith doesn't come from us. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't have faith. We would have nothing. No, it's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit regenerating us, giving us faith, making us able to accept God's sacrifice offered to us, wanting that sacrifice, and we can't claim credit for it at all. Brothers and sisters, that gives us a tremendous, a wonderful assurance. Because it's God's work, it's all good, it's reliable, it's 100% reliable. Nothing can get in the way of God's good work, with God's making us right with him. Nothing else can make us not right with him if he has chosen us. That's something to be thankful for. Are you? Are you thankful? Do you remember to give thanks? Don't be like that old farmer who on his wedding day said to his wife, "I love you. I'm thankful for you." And thought that that was good enough and that he never had to say it again. No, brothers and sisters, friends, give him thanks regularly. Thank him, praise him that he didn't leave us in our own sins. That he stooped down to us. That he reached out to us. That he lifted us up out of our sin and our misery. Cleaned us up. Washed us down. Gave us new robes of righteousness. So that we are his. So that we are right with him. So a simple question this afternoon. Are you right with God? Are you right with God through faith? Are you right with God through faith alone? Can you claim that Jesus isn't just a Savior, but that Jesus Christ is your Savior? That you belong to him. If not, why not? Why are you dragging the chain? What's holding you back? What's stopping you from saying, "Yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior. Forgive my sins." If that's you, why are you holding yourself back? Talk to someone. Talk to me. Reach out to someone. So that you too, together with the rest of us, can say, "Yes, Jesus Christ is mine." That you too can give thanks to him. That you can rest in God's work for you. Brothers and sisters, if you are his, then yes, give thanks. Lean on him. Hold on to him. Seek reassurance in him. Know even when you fall into sin that your Father always welcomes you back with open arms because you are his. Give thanks. Give God the glory. And tell others too. Tell others about the fact that you are right with God, that you have hope in him. Proclaim that message. And ask people, how will they answer that question? How can I be right with God? The answer is faith alone, grace alone, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for the good work, the great work, the wonderful work, the awesome work done for us in Jesus Christ. We praise you that our works can't save us, that we can't muck up, that we can't get in the way, that we can't ruin our salvation, because you save us by grace. It is all your work. We praise your name for that. We thank you that you are a good God, that you are a righteous God, that you are a perfect God who makes us 100% right with you. Help us to be thankful for that. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us to proclaim that message to others. And Heavenly Father, if we're wrestling with this truth at the moment, help us. Work us in us, move us to take that step of faith by your grace to accept, to lay hold of, to grasp Jesus Christ to be our own. Lord, this is a prayer that we have for many people on our hearts. You know the names of the people that we're thinking about this afternoon. Work in their hearts, we pray. Use us. We pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said together, Amen. Well, thank you, folks, for joining us once again. We plan to hold a Easter celebration on Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. I'm sure you'll all be home, or most of you, unless you're working, and we pray for God's blessing if you are having to work at this time. But as you go out now, as you prepare to serve Him in this week coming, as you enjoy the last of this day of rest, hear God's blessing that comes to us this afternoon from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is God's word to you this afternoon. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you, and the Lord bless you.